Hey, Mark here. So these episodes originally were released on Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, but I love these episodes. I love talking with Jay about movies that either are directed by Rennie Harlan or they feature aquatic sea beasts. I mean, they're some of my favorite conversations. Also, we've brought in some A-plus guests, and we just had a great time talking about these movies on Deep Blue Sea, the podcast. So I figured if you haven't listened to these yet, I would include them as a bonus episode on Movies, Films, and Flicks because I just enjoy the conversations. I think they're worth listening to, and I think you're going to like them. So after you listen to these episodes, if you dig them, go check out Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, or just look out for more. And thanks once again for listening to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I really do appreciate it. There's like 2.7 million podcasts out there, and I'm honored that you spend the time listening to Movies, Films, and Flicks. So enjoy this. If you like it, make sure to go to Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, and check out all of our episodes, which break down Deep Blue Sea 1, 2, and 3. They're insane. Hello and welcome to Deep Blue Sea, the podcast. I am Mark. I majored in history, Hoffmeyer.
And I am Jay, NFL trivia Cluett. the only kind of trivia that keeps you alive. On this show, Mark and I, we've covered the entire Deep Blue Sea trilogy, DVD chapter at a time. We're now looking at Deep Blue Sea adjacent films. That's films directed by Rennie Harlan. Lots of aquatic action, all featuring sharks, which is what we're doing today with our newest release of fresh out of the cinemas, 2022 release of Sharkbait, initially called Jet Ski, now called Sharkbait. We'll get into that. What is Sharkbait? Well, it's directed by James Nunn, stars Holly Earl, Jack Truman, Catherine Hannay, Malachi Puller-Latchman, and Thomas Flynn as five late teens, early 20s on their final spring break who get drunk, stay up all night, and decide the best thing they could possibly do is steal a couple of jet skis.
Smash glass bottles jerkily.
I mean, everything they do is they do jerkily. I hated these characters to a person. They go out at night with jet skis. They have a crash, and then I don't know, five of them stranded out in the middle of the ocean with just one jet ski that doesn't even work, and hilarity ensues. Mark, you love jet skis. This is not a secret. You love shark movies. This feels like the perfect film we should be covering on today's show. As it's a new release, I feel like we shouldn't go full spoilers on it because it's literally just come out in the UK. It hasn't even come out in the UK. I've got like an advanced screening of it. But did you like the film? Did you like the jet ski action?
Listen, I think I want to ask you something real quick before we get into the movie. You and I are we're the last two remaining people from a jet ski jaunt, right? We crashed. Three of our friends have been eaten. It's horrifying. You're laying on the jet ski bleeding. I'm trying to get it started, and I'm trying to keep you awake. What topic should I be talking to you about? Sure, like, who died first in Deep Blue Sea? Who died second in 47 meters uncaged? Who, what movie did Rennie Harlan direct that stars Lauren Hawley? I just do that kind of stuff. Would that keep you awake?
Yeah, it's The Adventures of Ford Fairlane. But I feel like that would be a good one.
Hey, give me the answer to the other two.
I can't remember the character names at all in Uncaged. The second one to die was not the terrible one who tried to save herself by climbing up the rope. It was the other one, kind of the more bookish one. But I can't remember her name. She died in that maelstrom thing. And the other question was, who died first in Deep Blue Sea? Was it?
Yeah.
Because that's Brenda. Well, I mean, technically the tiger shark, if you want to go down that route.
Yeah, Brenda gets it like 2 seconds before the helicopter.
Yeah, that's like an en masse. If we were splitting up into deaths, then the four of them would all be one kind of chapter. but I feel like outside of the obvious Deep Blue Sea, a good topic for me would be... when I was in school, actually, we had to do a presentation. We had to just research something that you liked and do a presentation on it. And I chose Discworld, the Terry Pratchett novels. Which Terry Pratchett, my favorite. I always said he was my favorite living author until he passed away. Now he's my second favorite deceased author, Arthur, after Douglas Adams. So I've read all of the adult.
Well, you have a type.
Yeah. British comedic fantasy, anti-establishment is very much my type. So yeah, Discworld novels would be a good one. But then I feel like I haven't read them for a long time. What about you? What would your topic be?
Just give me 5 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Just say Mark,
Five.
John Leguizamo.
Wow. Okay.
Mark, John Leguizamo, Julia Roberts, and then I just got to connect the movies while laying there.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that being your mind's wearing. I'm trying to do that myself now.
Yeah, see, it's getting you going. You're not thinking about the gaping teeth marks in your side that are just spewing blood. You're thinking about, man, which movie should I go with? Collateral Damage with Arnold? Should I go with? Oh wait, Romeo and Juliet with Leo, Leo and Catch Me If You Can, and then Hanks with Julia in Charlie Wilson's War.
Or Larry Crown, yeah.
Oh, you know what's nuts? I'm not lying right now. I had the physical sensation of vomit. I felt like
just
something rising.
About film.
No, I joke about a lot of things, but I'm 100% earnest. That scent shocks. Like, I felt spewage coming from inside my. And I felt that a couple days ago while watching Jackass 4.5. There's a really horrible gag in there. I think this was worse. Oh, Charlie Wilson's War.
Yes.
Okay, Charlie.
I apologize for mentioning the other film.
That's got the Hoffman. It's got the M. Blunt. I think it has Amy Adams.
It does indeed. Yeah, she's one of Charlie Wilson's assistants or staff. Yeah,
that's a beast mode cast.
It is. Yeah, it's a shame the film's less compelling than the cast should make it, I think.
Yeah, I just remember Philip Seymour Hoffman being great.
John Slattery's in there as well.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah. He's Hoffman's boss. And so there's a couple of scenes where PSH is just yelling at him. And he keeps breaking his window.
He's at his best when he's yelling. I think my favorite PSH is in Punch Drunk Love.
Hell
shut
yes.
Up!
Yes.
Shut up!
Yes.
Shut up! Shut up!
That's a scene I just go back to and watch sometimes. It's on YouTube, just him on the phone with Sandler. The way that he plays with the... He like gets annoyed with the telephone cord. I love it. He's such a reactive actor. I love everything he does.
It's beautiful. And watching Luis Guzman hit that thing constantly, the plunger handle without breaking, just in the background whacking a thing. I could have that as my screensaver on my TV, just watching him hit, go donk, donk, donk. You know, some people have those animated fish tanks or like a fish tank on a loop that's 60 minutes. I could just have Guzman
hitting a plunger
in the background. But I guess, hey, getting back to Shark Night. Or Shark Bait.
Shark Bait, yes.
I was thinking about this, and I would give this movie a C+.
Okay.
And, okay, I think the characters are wildly weak. And even the director admitted that. He's like, I just found the other four because they just had to be eaten. Like, he said that. James Nunn said that. I think Holly Earle's fine.
I think she's really good. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she committed a lot to the role. She said she trained nonstop for it. I mean, she's cool. I think she's the one person that you are rooting for in this entire film.
Yes.
I don't like the cheating angle with Tom and Millie. That's like, you know, Jay, you have five people on a crashed jet ski being hunted by a great white. You do not need cheating best friends.
No.
Like, you don't need cheating. Like, I understand adding problems on top of problems adds more conflict, but there's so much more conflict. Like, there's no reason to have that.
It's not relevant to the rest of the story. Like, if you think about Deep Blue Sea, there is conflict in that, Susan was doing the testing with the shark and didn't tell anyone. That's relevant to the plot. This soap opera melodrama or just stranded on a jet ski middle of the ocean is completely unnecessary, other than to add, I mean, it adds friction between the characters, but it doesn't stop any of them helping each other for the rest of the film. They're all their actions are still the same, whether this happened or not. It's nonsense. It's utterly unnecessary.
And I do think the movie does get a C+ for me, is because I think James Nunn, he also directed One Shot with Scott Adkins. It's a one shot action film.
Okay.
Which I'm serious. It's good. And then he also was the second unit director on 47 Meters Down and 47 Meters Down Uncaged. And I was reading just kind of about his process in this movie. And I think he referenced Jaws 2. He didn't have much of a budget. I really like how he opened this movie big. He didn't think he could get it. And he somehow talked a producer into the big opening where everyone's having the time of their lives during spring break. It does add nice production value to it. He also referenced the reef. I think he talked about the process of bringing people in there. And I think he's a good filmmaker. And I also like the cinematography by, I have his name right here. It is Molden. Ben Molden. I think he did a good job finding like 100 plus angles of the jet ski.
He loved the shot of just underneath the water shooting up at the jet ski or somebody swimming.
There's so much of that. And then I really like the overhead shots. I don't think there's any as iconic as, you know, the Shallows, but that's like saying there's no T-Rex attacks as iconic in Jurassic Park. Like, that's really hard. But I think the production wise, I mean, they shot in Malta. I watched a movie earlier this year called Great White, or was it last year, where they shot a lot of it in studio.
That was last year.
I think I gave that movie an F because the characters were – so these characters in this movie never aggravated me. They just felt unnecessary or not – they weren't – it's a movie where kids get eaten, but they still felt underdeveloped.
Yeah. There's no – none of them have any real distinguishing character to them. There's like one of them can't swim. That's her character.
Yeah, one gets his leg broken, the other one swims to a boat. It's just. But
none of them can fix a jet ski.
But I think there's a couple wonky CGI moments, but I do like the shot where the CGI grabs the shark grabs the broken leg guy and drags him underwater when she's still attached. Like the overhead shot is cool. I do like that. I guess we can't give it away, but it's called at the end, there's a jet ski chase. A great white shark chases a jet ski. And I don't want to go any further.
Yeah.
But I love shark movies and I love jet ski scenes. And I can't give this movie anything lower than a C because of that.
It brings these two loves together.
Interesting. After watching Great White, I probably give this movie more credit than it's due because Great White, it was shot on a soundstage. There was no waves, flat characterization. It just pained my soul. I felt my soul melting into the ground. This one?
That is a film I'd forgotten.
Bad.
So, yeah. It is, yeah. I watched it last year and had, like, purged it from my mind.
Leave! I still like it more than Larry Crown. But, yeah, this one, though, there's a sheen to it. There's some good drone shots to it. The jet ski crash is good. I think that overall the people working on it were quite talented. And I mean, it's a jet ski. It's a movie where kids are stuck on it. You know what's interesting? Watching the trailer, this movie was better than I thought it was from the, like, gauging by the trailer. This could have been a sci-fi, cheeky, bad movie. But I think the location, the actors, the cinematography, mostly good CGI. I mean, we don't meet the shark until the 20-something minute mark. So, and I mean, and by 10 minutes, we're on jet skis already. So it does move quick, but that's, by 13 minutes, they've crashed. So it's quite economical, but yeah, it's a C+. But now know that since there's a jet ski chase with a great white, it automatically gets a C.
Right.
So that's where I start.
Yeah, fair enough. See, for me, this is, over the course of this podcast, we've kind of discovered several different types of shark movie, and this is kind of my least favorite type of shark movie, where it's like quite a sincere, serious. It's very much like The Reef, which I didn't enjoy The Reef that much because I found it wasn't very entertaining. I'm here for the Deep Blue Sea inventive shark kills and characters like who you really get on with and want to like strive and see them survive and make it to the end, and you're disappointed when they don't. And here it's just one fewer name to remember when they're killed. So I'm okay, I can stop writing.
There's no Nancy, right, from The Shallows with Blake Lively. Because she was really likable in that movie, even with Steven Seagal. Like, she carried that film.
Yeah. But even, like, there's no Scoggins, who's like a fun character. Who, you know, he's going to die, but you're going to have fun with him along the way. There's certainly no Preacher. There's just no... There's no one that you're really rooting against. You're rooting for Nat, but everyone else is just kind of there. You don't think anyone else is going to make it. I just needed more character to this, and I needed more fun because it's a film about you're stuck on a jet ski with a shark in the water. That's quite limiting as to what you can do, especially when the jet ski isn't working for the majority of the film. So you're just going to it's a raft for most of it. It's just an awkwardly shaped raft.
They could have ramped the shark in a scene. They could have done figure eights to avoid the shark. You know, they could have.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Drive around a buoy, hit some sweet waves. It's.
I think for about an hour, they're just kind of sat on the jet ski trying to get it to work, or just kind of bobbing there waiting for something else to happen. And I feel like I just kept yelling at them, just those of you who can, get in the water, hold the jet ski, kick your legs. You'll move somewhere. Something, you might catch the tide or something. It's better than just sitting there doing nothing.
No, I thought the same exact thing. It's, but I guess you have the guy's leg gets broken. You have someone who really...
Which there is a, that when they get him out of the water and put him on the back of the jet ski and then it kind of breaks a bit more, there's a horrific noise that that makes, which is always, I always have to give compliments to horrible bone breaking noises. Like 127 hours is the pinnacle of that, but this is up there as well.
Wonderful leg snaps. I guess, so you have one person who can't swim, you have a leg snapper, and then you have three people to swim. So you could get two people in the water, but then, I mean, you can't really fit five people on that thing. It would be really hard to switch out. But
I feel like you like you say, you have the two who can't do anything, who like one can't swim, one can't kick, have them up on the jet. They say you can fit three people on the jet skis. Have those two and a third person resting on there and just kind of switch out the two that are in the water. Everyone does a half hour or something. It'll be better. You might come across. I mean, there is another boat in the film. You might get to that.
Yeah, that's true.
This isn't critiquing the film. This is like what the film could have been, which is kind of bad film criticism, I think.
I do think the one thing I do love is on IMDb. If you look at it right now, there's the picture of the three people on the jet ski. So you have Nat, you have Millie, and Greg on the jet ski. You have Nat looking like life is the greatest thing ever. You have Millie just sort of enjoying the open air, closing her eyes, having fun. And then you have Nat actually seeing what's going on.
Yeah, because this is immediately pre-crash.
It's the three different emotions of being on a jet ski. And I love that photo. Yeah. And also I'm looking at the poster and it continues the long trend of just swimmers giant being shock. Absolutely screwed. I think the worst of all of them is in the heart of the sea, where the eyeball is bigger than an entire person. Like you see that poster, but this one, there's no, it's like, this is,
this is a poster for the Meg, basically. This is a huge shark that you could swim into and like do a 180 and now again quite easily, but it, which is not the case for the film.
And how is this person that big? Who is this swimmer?
I kind of scanned through some of the reviews and there was a negative review that was like, nowhere in the film is there a woman diving in a red string bikini. Because that's what the
are they going to pull a Yesterday and sue for false advertising?
Maybe.
And I do think it's funny, though, when it says shark bait, an original title jet ski. It's haunting me. I just see it right there in front of me. I see...
the perfect film title existed and they didn't
use see it. But also, not to be reductive, I mean, this is still an 80 with credits. With credits, it's probably, what, 80 minutes of... 80 yeah, minutes, you take out 4 minutes for credits. So you're watching an hour and 23 minutes. Yeah, you're right, though. It is quite humorless. But it still ends cool. I think there's an ideal way to watch this movie. And I'm not trying to... I feel like I hate being so negative because I think being negative is the easiest thing to do. But you could start this movie at maybe the 10-minute mark and skip all the – well, you know what, though? It does capture kids partying down in a South American country or Mexico, one of those on spring break. They're horribly behaved. So, I mean
– well, that doesn't help in that they completely get themselves in the situation. It's everything that happens is entirely their fault. Yeah.
Ooh, that's interesting too, because I guess if you look at The Shallows, Blake Lively's just going to where her mom surfed, and she stays out a little too long.
But
it's not her fault.
Yeah, she's just out for a swim, and then there happens to be a shark. These guys, they get drunk, they stay up all night, they steal a couple of jet skis, they play chicken with jet skis in the middle of the
ocean. Yeah, it's all on them.
They have no life jackets, no one knows where they are. They leave all their stuff on the dock, where of course it's going to get washed away. They don't even leave a note saying, we borrowed your jet skis, sorry. They just steal them and go. And at that point, I was like, oh, good, you crashed, I'm glad.
Mm-hmm. No, but I guess that you're right, though. That adds an interesting wrinkle, because when you think about 47 meters down and how they're stranded, that's not their fault. And it adds a level of urgency because they have the oxygen and the bends. And they have awesome flare scenes. Uncaged, you never expect for prehistoric great whites that are blind.
But Uncaged is kind of their fault to an extent. They didn't mean to get trapped, but again, they're out without telling anybody.
Yeah, that's true.
Where they're going, they shouldn't be there. No. So, I mean, they hit some bad luck in the thing caves in because of the sharks. So it's slightly less their fault than it is in Shark Bait. But I still put the Uncaged crew down that end.
I get it. And I guess what? You have bait. They're just in a grocery store and a tsunami hits. So that's not on them.
Right. That's But like Shark Knight, not really their fault. They're just out partying. Having a good time on the lake. And then it happens to be that, you know, the lake's full of sharks. There's rednecks out to kill them.
Sell it on the black market. Jaws 2, just kids being, you know, kids out. Requiem, there's a floating bungalow. So, you know what's interesting?
Well, Jaws 2, it's just kids out, but in an area where there have been sharks.
Yeah, they
before.
Shouldn't have been out. It's
like famously.
Yeah. But they didn't drive jet skis into each other. I guess if we're doing the chart of was it their fault?
The shark bait is the far end.
Yeah, because they steal jet skis and then they play chicken.
Yeah. The only kind of argument you can give is they're all drunk. Yeah. But I don't like giving that argument because they I mean if you know that you get drunk, stop drinking. Like I drink alcohol. I don't drink a lot because I don't want to get drunk.
These are college kids. These are college kids who are on a bender.
Yes. So this is the thing I can't compare with because I would not have been invited on this. I never went on any kind of vacation with the university friends. Like I went to university, I studied, and then I finished university, and all my friends had moved away.
This is par for the course, I would say. The jet skis is a lot, but it makes sense. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not condoning it. And I'm not saying it's right.
Because they break into somewhere to steal the keys. It's not even like they find jet skis with keys and they break in.
I mean, no, they steal jet skis and then they play chicken. Bad idea. But also you got that adrenaline going, so you shouldn't be too... I feel like your blood's kicking. You're feeling a little bit more conscious.
They've been up for a day.
But it's still jet skis and sharks. And that's all...
Yes.
I mean, you know what's interesting too is... I said that it's a well-shot film. You know what I do love the most is they did shoot in the ocean. You don't feel much of a studio or a tank. You can tell a tank. Like Deep Blue Sea has a tank. You feel that tank in the beginning shot. I keep seeing tank. But
oh, yeah. I mean, there's no indoor shots in this film. Everything's outside. Everything's out in the open air, open sea. So, yeah, we've got to credit that. And like you said, it looks fantastic. This looks nothing like any kind of terrible sci-fi film. Compare this to like Ice Sharks or Santa Jaws. This is nowhere near the production quality. Yeah,
there's actual production design. And not design. I mean, it's the jet ski. But there's actual cinematography in play here.
Yeah. And it's all in focus. It's better than Jaws 3.
I guess Larry Brown is in focus too. But yeah.
But Jaws 3D isn't.
I know I don't want to sound you're right. I think we are kind of hating on it a little bit.
We're both trying not to.
We're trying not to. I still enjoy. Listen, at the end of when it turned off, I was like, I don't want to give away the ending, but I was like, that was cool. I don't know.
There are some great deaths in it as well. There's at least two, like you mentioned, when. It's no real surprise that Greg, who's the guy with the broken leg, dies first. So when he gets dragged underwater, Nat's hair is stuck in his watch. That's kind of a cool sequence.
And it looks good, too. And she breathes for a little bit, looks up. I like that.
Yeah. And there's another one later on where, when we talked about the Shallows, the shark in that is just mean. The vindictive shark just kind of toying with Blake Lively. And you get something similar to that here towards the end when the shark is kind of toying with her, dragging things around, which I enjoyed those sequences.
Oh, it's mean. This shark is not... we meet the guy in the beginning who had his legs bit off, and I feel like this is a shark...
The harbinger.
Yeah. This is... She's supposed to go get drinks, and then she sits down. But I do think it's interesting that this shark could be maybe a local legend or a just really jerky thing that just torments people and they can't catch it. Like, it's just an evil shark.
It's Moby Dick kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And maybe they just have... That'd be funny if the town just rents, like, leaves jet skis out to be stolen.
It was bait.
Yeah.
I mean, it's called shark bait. That's... The $2 a jet ski and shark bait. Let's put those two together.
Those jet skis were really easy to steal.
Yep, they were just sitting there. No one was watching.
Gassed up, easy to take.
Yep.
They're
pointing the right direction.
They weren't that far offshore. There were no boats out that day. And if you look where they were, there was a bunch of boats leaving that area. So maybe this is like a Wicker Man or a Willy's Wonderland type situation where you put somebody in there to be sacrificed for the greater good.
The greater good.
The Cabin in the Woods. Maybe this is a section of the Cabin in the Woods, and now the world's doomed. I mean,
we have the Harbinger.
Yeah.
Which you have in Cabin in the Woods, yeah. So we're that's what we're missing, is Bradley Whitford and Richard Jenkins watching it all and controlling the remote control shark. That's what we're...
Oh, is there a scene where they read some... Like, so she met that guy who told her about the shark, and that's what kicked off... They could have been drugged, led that way.
Yeah, it could be something in the drinks. And well, when they're stealing the jet skis, there was a newspaper article on the wall that was like, more shark sightings.
Yeah.
So the clues were there.
Some
they had to prove themselves worthy of being sacrificed.
Yeah, I mean, there were plenty of clues. They didn't pay attention, and then they go out, and then they... This is a Cabin in the Woods scenario.
Yeah, well, there we go.
And then, okay, so you have to like blow either a conch shell or play a board game. What did they do to summon the shark?
They they played chicken on the jet ski.
Yeah, like they...
maybe it is just spilled blood in the water. Maybe it's like with normal sharks.
Yeah,
because it doesn't. There is no shark until Greg Zite gets hurt.
If they went too far, a kraken could have got them. If they went
Cthulhu's out there.
Underwater happens, like, yeah. Kristen Stewart's like, run! Like, is that Kristen Stewart on a jet ski? Is that Jessica Henwick? What's happening here?
Wait, the guy from the newsroom? What are you doing here? John Gallagher Jr., there we go.
I loved you in Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane. Where's John Goodman? That's another movie. But that has a monster in it.
It does, yeah.
They go
other than John Goodman.
They go further, they meet the Leviathan creature. There's squid out there. There's piranha. Oh, no, they're freshwater. Yeah. But who cares?
In 3D.
Oh. I love that movie. I love all those movies. Piranha 3D is a treasure.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
But, yeah, okay, so that makes... I think that works.
I think that works, too.
I think the blood is what summoned the shark. If they dropped some gold into the ocean, then pirate zombies would have come after them.
Oh, yeah. Or... Then you get the shark zombies, could be a different alternative from Pirates 5.
Oh, shark zombies. Pirate shark zombies. If you're scuba diving, if you go scuba diving, then Barnacle Bill will come after you. Let's see. If they stole a sailboat, they'd be attacked by... What would attack a sailboat? That's a good one.
It could just be some kind of boat-based serial killer. When I get down to basics.
Like, isn't Billy Zane in Dead Calm? Like, isn't he?
Yep. Yep. Or like, the kids from Donkey Punch.
Oh!
Who just... It's a different kind of film.
What's worse, Billy Zane or Donkey Punch kids?
Donkey Punch kids.
You've just made, like, an NC-17 film. Whoa! If they steal a speedboat, then let's see. They would have to deal with, like, an evil John Travolta from Face Off.
I hope we never get to the stage where we cover Donkey Punch on this podcast.
Never.
I don't want to do
that. It's like covering a Larry Clark's movie or like a Harmony Korine. Well, no, I like Beach Bum.
Oh, jeez.
I would talk about Spring Breakers because that's where I'm from, St. Pete.
St. Pete. St. Pete.
But yeah, all right. So, okay. Let's see. Speedboat. What's it? What attacked a speedboat?
Willem Dafoe. That's a cruise liner.
If you steal a cruise liner, Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe. Yeah.
With leeches.
With leeches, of course. A speedboat. What's a speedboat film?
So, I don't want to see John Travolta from Face Off attacking them. What attacks speedboats in movies?
Bond villains?
Oh. Wait. Raul Julia from Street Fighter has a bunch of mines that he unloads?
Yep, that works. one of the Brosnan Bonds had a speedboat chase in it.
Oh.
So it could just be like villainous speedboats.
Yeah.
If you get on a speedboat, yeah, you just get chased down by other ones. And if you get onto like a what's the canal boat?
Oh,
not.
Are you talking about an air? I've been on those before in the Everglades. Everglades airboat.
Oh, like an airboat.
Yeah, airboat. What would that?
Yeah, yeah. Then just giant crocodiles, alligators.
Whoa! If you steal a tugboat, you get hit by one of those anaconda.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait. If you have a yacht, piranhas, sea piranhas.
Yep. If you get on a gondola, then it's sharks in Venice. it's some Italian mobster has brought in some sharks to protect his underground booty.
Ooh, whitewater rafting, Kevin Bacon and John C. Reilly.
Yeah, or Deliverance.
Yep, canoes. You get hit by
banjos.
Yeah, banjos. Evil banjo fish. I'm sure there's a banjo shark. Are there banjo sharks?
It sounds like a kind of a shark.
Banjo. Yeah, there's a banjo shark. There is a banjo shark or guitar fish.
Yeah.
You get attacked by guitar fish.
Rhino batiformers. Yeah.
What happened to Jay? Well, he was canoeing in a banjo shark or a guitar fish.
Taken out by ukulele.
Ukulele fish. If you're on a tube.
Oh, it was the accordion squid.
Ugh. Let's see. What would get you in a tube? I mean, tremors. But we've already gone to piranha a lot.
I mean, there's a lot of... Well, yeah, there's a lot of varieties of kills in piranha.
Yeah. I would say a giant...
The piranha is a versatile kill.
Big lobster.
It's a big lobster.
If you steal a fishing trawl, a fishing boat, you get hit by a wave.
Yeah, if you steal a giant cruiser line, you get hit by an iceberg.
Or... or if you're a reasonably small boat, Jason Voorhees attacks you.
Yeah.
You hit an iceberg. So you hear about Jay? He stole a cruise liner, a luxury cruise liner, and he drove it.
How big was it?
He drove it into an iceberg off the coast of Mexico. Wait, in the Gulf of Mexico, he hit an iceberg with a cruise liner? Yeah.
No more questions.
Yeah. But, man, I would. Your funeral would be a blast. Because people just
thanks.
Well, like think about it. Like, how did Jay go down? Gulf of Mexico cruise liner iceberg.
He bobbed in the water for a while, and the front half snapped off, and then.
And then there was a door, but he didn't think he could fit on it, so he just drowned.
Just drowned. Yeah.
I think
he bounced off the propeller and drowned.
I love this a banana boat. But you would have to be a psychic shark.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Oh man. So we just...
Submarine? That's just other submarines, generally?
Like giant squid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. In the Meg.
Yeah.
Well, no, the Meg's a Meg.
10,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Yes.
Oh, I think we did it.
I think we did it. Yeah, this is a cabin. This is the cabin on the sea.
Well, you know, I think there are... You can rent kind of bungalows in the water. So, yeah, that would be a bungalow in the sea.
You get those like resorts where there's a little hut, like completely above the water, with a glass floor so you can see the fish.
Oh my gosh!
Which would obviously that would smash. They just have this big open the wet lab basically, waiting to get in to your holiday home.
Sounds horrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just gonna live on the second floor.
So when they realize there's a shark in the water in Shark Bay and they're trying to find it. Millie says, like, I don't know, what does a shark even look like?
Yeah.
Which is infuriating, because it's the most recognizable animal in the world.
Yeah, that was a good line. And also, she was yelling at Nat for using her phone to catch people's attention. Like, that won't work.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Nat gives it to her, which makes me happy.
Yeah.
I mean, why not try? I do like the line, like, do you know how to fix this? He's like, I major in history. Like, that's funny. Like, that's...
Yeah, they're all useless.
Yeah, and I do like that. Did you see the writer, this Nick Saltris? He wrote A Prayer Before Dawn, which, have you seen A Prayer Before Dawn?
I have not heard of A Prayer
It Before. Is an excellent film. I mean, it is violent and, like, wildly bloody. It's based on a memoir. But, yeah, I mean, I think Joel Cole gives... an excellent performance in it. And also has Vithaya Pansringarm. I butchered that. But he's also in Only God Forgives, and I love that movie. But yeah, he wrote that, and he also worked on EastEnders, Hollyoaks.
EastEnders, yeah. Well, this makes sense as to where the soap opera melodrama comes from, because he's written on a bunch of UK soaps.
Yeah, Emmerdale Farm, Brookside.
Brookside, yeah. Merseybeat, Holy City. He's written on all of them apart from Coronation Street, I think. He's almost got the full set.
Wow, so then he's used to soaps. I mean, so he adds a soapy element to it.
Yeah.
Ooh. There's no one speaking Cockney, though. Was that bad?
It's just a shame. That would improve every film. I'm not sure what the Cockney rhyme is saying for a jet ski or a shark is. Tree bark shark.
Yeah. Ooh.
Jet ski.
I want to hear it. Give it. Let's go.
So, house key jet ski could be. I don't know.
we'll work on that. No, all right. So, I mean... So I'd like that discovery then. So no wonder they add the soapy element. Can we explore that a little bit? I was having a conversation before, and there's a lot of horror movies that are kind of the same principle, where you have movies like The Strangers, where a couple is going through issues. They want a divorce, but then they're attacked by masked strangers. In Vacancy, you have a couple who are about ready to get estranged? Who are about ready to get separated.
Separate? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. Yeah.
But then.
What are you doing this weekend? Oh, me and the wife are getting estranged.
Yeah. But then they get attacked. And I think there's always this element of let's add some drama to the relationship to have more. Like, I guess sometimes people don't want a perfectly happy group being destroyed. But yeah. I mean, like The Descent, there is some dissent amongst them because of the cheating of Juno, but they aren't totally. There is issues, but it doesn't dominate the film, and it does play into the narrative because Juno is trying to make up for things, and then it leads to the end. But can't you just have a happy group being killed by people?
I mean, in The Cabin in the Woods, that's a happy group. There's no, the only kind of tension there is Kristen Connolly's character kind of fancies one of the other guys.
Yeah,
there's not Chris Hemsworth, not Dollhouse, Frank Rance. He's the other guy who I know is famous for other things, but I can't think
of Jesse Williams?
Yes.
Also, Frank Rance wrote and directed a movie called Mass, which is unbelievable.
I have it recorded, but not watched.
It is. Okay, I know people are very busy and we have next to no free time, but it's one of those movies that's best to get immersed in. I don't know if you have an opportunity to do that. Very few of us do, but it's good. It's really good. So, yeah.
Okay, so I won't watch it whilst editing a podcast.
Don't.
Good to know.
I've watched it a few times now, and it really, I think it's beautifully shot. I know the Atlanta Film Critics Circle gave it Best Ensemble. It won a bunch of Best Ensemble awards, which makes me really happy. But, I don't know. One more thing about this movie. I do think it... We can't talk about the ending, can we? No, we can't. We can't do it. That'd be unfair. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we should. Well, I mean, you can kind of see where it's going. Okay.
Can we dedicate the last 10
brief,
minutes?
Brief
of this
spoiler
episode?
Section.
Yeah. Hey, do you want to go over the deep and
Yes.
And then what we can do is we'll wrap up everything and then we'll do a quick spoiler section. Is that cool?
Perfect. All right. Okay. Yeah. So before we get into that, just some quick parallels between this and Deep Blue Sea. Not very many, it turns out. I mean, it's a shark movie. But it's kids partying, they're cut off from the land, a phone or something falls into the water and it drifts down, kind of like the teddy bear at the start of Deep Blue Sea. At one point they get split into two groups, with one guy going out alone, they are surprised by a dead body at one point, and one of the deaths is a bit like Janice when they're being like held from above, kind of thing. That's, so not very similar to Deep Blue Sea, but that's just a short list. And then how deep and blue is it? So Mark, as you know, as I'm sure you know, Deep Blue Sea... 47.5 feet deep, 31% blue. Do you reckon shark bait deeper or bluer than Deep Blue Sea?
Oh, it's... No, it's not deeper. It's not... It's a really good question. It's not deeper and it's not bluer. I would say it's shallows level.
It is definitely not deeper. It is basically on the surface level throughout. There's a few shots underneath, there's a few bits up on the land. But for the most part, it's on the surface level, so it's basically, I've got as half a foot up in the air at the end of things. But blueness, it is bluer than Deep Blue Sea. Currently, our bluest film is 47 meters down, which is on average 81% blue. This is 72.6%. This is a very exceptionally blue film.
Oh, wow.
Because it's nothing but wide open seas and blue skies. There's very few clouds in the whole film. There's underwater shots that are completely blue. This is now our third bluest film.
Wow.
So after 47 Meters Down and The Reef. This is actually very similar in numbers to The Reef in terms of depth and blueness.
That's cool. So, like, it kind of The Reef, Shallows, and this are sort of surface level movies, would you say?
Absolutely, yep. Because The Shallows, blueness wise, is similar as well. That's like 69%.
Wow!
So they're all in that 69, 73 kind of range.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
And we need this chart. So, all these movies.
I keep meaning to do something with it. I mean, we are past our 100th episode. And I think I said I would do it for 100th. So maybe by now it is available somewhere.
Do it. Do it, do it. We'll so, do. We'll spoilers?
Do. Yeah, spoilers.
There's a jet ski chase at the end. You know what I like? The shark doesn't die.
It gets stabbed in the eye. That was another parallel.
Yeah.
Where the shark, like, they find some driftwood and they stab it in the eye with it.
And she does stab it, right? She does give it a stab. But at the end of the day...
she breaks off that engine, that jet ski cover.
Is this the first movie where the shark... Oh, no, 47 Meters Down... They all live. But this is one of the shark lives. It doesn't get shallowed. It doesn't get deep blue seed. It doesn't get killed like that hammerhead. So it's kind of refreshing that it's still out there murdering people.
I mean, there's a bunch of sharks still alive in Shark.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The lake is still full. And in Shark in Venice, Venice is still full of sharks.
Yeah, that's true. But still, I guess when we're talking about like a primate, like one-on-one, Jaws dies. Yeah. That shark from Jaws 2 dies, Jaws 3 dies, Jaws 4 dies.
the sharks die in bait. The shark dies in The Shallows.
So I guess on a one-on-one basis, well, Orca. Well, no.
Orca. The Orca survives. Yeah. In Orca. Yeah.
All right. Well, I lost it there. But
shark dies. Orca dies.
It's refreshing. It's still out there killing people. I do like. Just she fixes it on her own. She finds her inner strength. The really angry, jerky boyfriend gets got.
Tom.
He sacrifices himself like Shark Knight. He's like, I really was a good guy. I'm like, no, you're not.
Tell your family I was a good guy. I will do such a thing.
He has a
you're a terrible person.
Bad temper.
You slept with my best friend and at least two other people.
And he gets so angry. I think that might be he's a relatively inexperienced actor, so maybe that was his reaction, just getting horribly angry. To the thing, as opposed to defensive, I guess, which is you're still terrible. But she gets away from the shark. The shark's chasing it. He sacrifices himself. But then she gets into the shallows with a ton of rocks. And then she flips off the jet ski, flies off of it. And then she sees a thing, swims, finds her, because she's from Kansas. And then she finds her inner strength, and the shark gets stuck. Like, it doesn't jump over. I'll probably definitely get in trouble for the jet ski stealing. She goes to jail at the end in Malta. But, yeah, I think it's... she'll have to pay for the jet skis. Hope they're insured. But, yeah, I think it's still a fun ending. It's a jet ski being chased by a great white who's very fast. So it's... I don't know. That's fun for me. I like it. It ends well.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of... In a shark film with jet skis, you kind of have to have a shark jet ski chase.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they managed to fit that in there.
And it looks good.
Yeah, I mean, the whole film looks great.
The director said that Holly Earl, she was the best jet ski driver of all of them by far. He said she tore it up.
She wouldn't have crashed. I should let her drive early on.
Oh, and real quick, the director, he interviewed all of them. And he was like, how do you swim? So he interviewed all. They all end up swimming really well, but they had to like pretend not to be able to swim. Because he's like, I just don't want non-swimmers in the water. Should I get you swim lessons, whatever? But he told them all, like, this is going to be miserable. Like, we're going to be on the ocean. It's not going to be fun. So when we're out there, I just need you to be team players. And he said that the days were really long. They were really hot. They weren't ideal days. But he said that all of them were just down. Like, they all got it. You know, when you accept a movie, like, and listen, you can't praise an actor for this, but you hear so many actors complaining about roles. So I kind of like that he prepped them for this. Because you can't get really totally, you're not going to get Leo in here grunting in puddles. You can't afford that. Or grunting in the water on a jet ski, which would be amazing.
Yeah.
But it was kind of neat hearing him talk about the cast and how they just he said there's a good like synthesis between them and how they, like he said, especially Holly Earl, they're all just like, yeah, it was hot, it was long, but we signed up for it. It was cool. We were in a beautiful place. So I like that attitude of all the actors. And it sounds weird to applaud them for that, but I've been on enough sets where people complain. So they seem like a pretty cool cast of actors, I guess, in this movie. So that made me happy.
Yeah, I had no problem with any of the acting. They all did. They did a decent job. Yeah.
They found, because you know what's interesting? These actors are, maybe I should have said this earlier, but these actors are a step above of a lot of the sci-fi movies.
Very much so, yes.
So
again, Ice Sharks, a million miles away from this film, yeah, in terms of acting, production quality, any of that.
Maybe should have started off saying that. But I think the performances are fine. But also too, though, like how are you supposed to pack in a lot of characterization between five people in an 84-minute movie? So it was a very interesting choice to introduce them as jerky spring breakers who rent jet skis. And then, and you know, it was pretty bold to have it all in the daytime too. They could have taken, like, they could have rented jet skis at the end of the day and like, hey, just get it back in a half hour because it's dark. And then they stay out too long, something happens, and then it's all a nighttime shoot to make it cheaper. But this is a full-on production and during the day.
Yeah, there's a like one scene at night.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit at night towards the end when they see like the light. They try and get that and it turns out to be a dead person. But yeah, for the most part, bright sunshine.
And that shark destroys that sailboat, does it not?
It does. The shark is efficient. I guess the job.
I like Tyler.
But it keeps leaving people alive.
Yeah.
It keeps leaving them intact. It like takes a few nibbles and then is done. But I ate the whole thing.
Cabin in the woods, bruh.
Yeah.
Because it realizes if it eats all of them, it's going to be full. We've established this in Deep Blue Sea. So you know, like when you're at a buffet, you don't want to pile your plate full on your first plate.
It's grazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to graze. So maybe the shark knows the buffet.
There we go. It's sampling all
spring break buffet.
That should have been the title of the film.
Spring break. Yeah. Well, hey, we found some positivity here at the end of the episode.
We did. Yeah.
That's good.
I feel like it didn't, given how much this podcasting team loves shark movies and jet ski movies, I don't think it quite lived up to our expectations. But I'd say it's still, if you like shark movies, it's probably still worth a watch.
I think you're right, though. The Achilles heel is there's no humor to it. Even The Shallows had some humor with Steven Seagal and how comically evil that shark was. I mean, that shark was an absolute turd, I would say. And it became funny. I remember watching The Shallows the first time and just going, this shark is insane. And I really was able to enjoy it. I think this one kind of wants to be the Reef, but then it wants to be the Reef, but with jet skis, I think.
And
I don't know what else you could have done, but it's such an absurd premise. And then to ground it, but
you say it's an absurd premise. I think it's a believable premise. I feel like the events of the film are relatively realistic, other than some people survive a little longer than they perhaps should, given the extent of their injuries.
No, you're right. It's not high concept.
But I feel like what happens in the film could happen. Like, you could become stranded on a jet ski in the middle of nowhere. And so that they are quite, it is quite a grounded, sincere, realistic film. But it's sold as being like a wild, entertaining Piranha 3D-esque spring break horror movie romp.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't quite deliver on that.
Yeah. How do you make a Piranha-esque movie out of this?
They need some more character to the characters.
Jerry O'Connell? Have some
jokes. Yep. You make Tom Jerry O'Connell. Greg is Paul Scheer.
Kelly Brook as Millie.
Yep. And then
Ving Rhames as
Ving Rhames as the Harbinger. The beggar without the legs. Because he loses his legs. There we go.
Adam Scott. So. Oh my gosh, yeah. Adam Scott.
Yeah.
See, that's how you make it better. Put the cast of Piranha 3D on a jet ski. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And what those films also, it always helps to have something to cut away to. Because for a while, like, Tyler goes for a swim to try and find another boat, but we spend so little time with him. He just, like, he goes there, yells at it, dies.
He could have had a buoy adventure. He could have had several, you know, he could have gotten on the boat and found redemption.
Yeah, and then they, like, try and find the way back to the jet skis. They try and hunt the shark down. They have some whole other adventure that still fails because the boat gets ripped apart.
Yeah, the boat. And then, the boat comes to them to save them. The shark takes out the boat.
And then, like Adam Scott's the guy on the boat.
I know, like you said, it's lazy criticism, but this is a beautiful movie, and I'm very happy. This is we did it. Piranha 3D jet ski.
Yeah.
Piranha 3DDD jet ski.
Jet ski D.
Jet ski.
Piranha jet ski D.
Yeah. Sold. Sorted. Finished.
Oh, man.
I love it.
Wait, jet ski.
Okay.
Ski D? Piranha jet ski D. Part do. Jet ski part do. Because, like, sea do. Wait. Sea part do.
Sea do 3D.
Wait. Piranha 3D. Wait. Piranha sea do 3D?
Yeah, there we go. Piranha sea do 3D. coming to a streaming to near you soon.
That's going
to
give people. This is like Piranha sea do 3D?
Yeah. So, I didn't see Piranha C1 3D.
I didn't see it. Oh, all right. That was perfect.
Okay. Normally I would go to the deepest blurs now. We've kind of done that, so I'm just going to... We're going to roll straight into plugs. What have you got to plug, Mark?
Just, let's see. Deep Blue Sea, the podcast. Oh, wait. That's this. Movies, Films, and Flicks, the podcast. I was just number one in Nigeria, which is awesome.
Awesome.
That's so cool. And, you know, Jay, I don't know what you're doing in the UK, man, but we're shooting up the charts there with Deep Blue Sea, the podcast. So,
I mean, I'm trying.
You're out here working, handing out flyers, going to the cons.
Selling t-shirts. True. We need to make some t-shirts.
But yeah, Movies, Films, and Flicks, check that out. And then go to, we should. And then check out my videos on film theory, and then fandom. I got a Tom Cruise thing coming up, and then Rotten Tomatoes. Mark off my Rotten Tomatoes. That's it.
Awesome. Follow the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Deep Blue Sea Pod. Email us deepbluesea@gmail.com if you have any suggestions on other films we can cover or other ways we could sequelize Sharkbait. And you can hear me over on the Lambcast once a month hosting Lampity, movie trivia version of Jeopardy, always a fun time. Recent guests on that one included a friend of the show, Elwood Jones, who was on for season one for the birthday party scene of this show. And read some things that I write sometimes over at lifevsfilm.com. Follow me on Twitter at lifevsfilm. And then come back next week for the time loop film Triangle.
Ooh, Triangle's good.
But as for today, as for Sharkbait and Jet Ski and Sharkbait Sea-Doo 3D, I have been Jake Lewis.
And I'm Mark Kansas Hoffmeyer.
And I'll deep blue see you next week.